Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Human extinction level loss.
Badge. The classroom was not a classroom. It was server room B, a chilled, windowless chamber on the third sublevel of the mountain complex. Instead of chalkboards and inspirational posters, the walls were lined with banks of blinking servers that hummed with a low, constant drone, the heartbeat of the base's recovered network. Beverly sat at a makeshift desk near the heavy steel door, rubbing her temples. The fluorescent lights here were harsher than in the mess hall, buzzing with a frequency that seemed to drill directly into her skull.
10 minutes left, she announced, checking her watch. Keep your eyes on your own screens, please.
6 children sat at long folding tables, their faces illuminated by the blue glow of monitors. They were a motley crew of the apocalypse, ranging in age from 7 to 12. They were taking a pop quiz on basic sanitation and disease prevention, a subject that had replaced social studies in the New World curriculum. Beverly watched them, her heart aching with a familiar dull throb. They were so adaptable. They didn't complain about the cold or the lack of recess. They just absorbed the new reality as if the old world had been a dream. Her eyes drifted to Tommy. He was sitting at the end of the table, his legs swinging beneath the chair, too short to reach the floor. He was typing intently, his tongue poking from the corner of his mouth in concentration. But it wasn't his focus that drew Beverly's eye. It was the shiny badge pinned to the left side of his flannel shirt. The badge was heavy. It pulled the fabric of his shirt down, stretching the collar. But Tommy refused to take it off. He slept with it under his pillow. He polished it every morning. Today, however, there was a tightness to his shoulders, a frantic energy in the way he hit the keys. He was angry. He had been quiet ever since they left the mess hall. Being sent away so Nicole could talk to Jacob privately had stung him. He didn't understand the politics of leadership or the caution of vetting outsiders. He only knew that the man who had saved them, the man who was the closest thing to a father figure he had left, was in the building, and he was stuck here, learning about water filtration.
"Psst! Hey!"
The whisper came from the station next to Tommy. It was Caleb. Caleb was 12, older than Tommy by 2 years, and carried the chip on his shoulder like a weapon. He had come in with a group from Nevada a month ago, a tough kid who had seen too much violence and had decided the only way to survive was to be the one dealing it out. Tommy ignored him, his eyes locked on the screen. Question 4. If a water source is stagnant, what is the minimum boiling time required?
"Hey, deputy!" Caleb whispered again, louder this time. He leaned back in his chair, crossing his arms. "I'm talking to you."
Tommy hit the enter key.
"I'm taking a quiz, Caleb. You should be too."
"I finished," Caleb lied. His screen was clearly stuck on question 3. He stared at the badge on Tommy's chest, his eyes narrowing.
"That thing is annoying. The light reflects off it. It's blinding me."
"Then look at your screen," Tommy said, his voice flat. He sounded so much like Mark in that moment, calm, logical, unbothered by the noise that Beverly almost gasped from across the room.
"I can't," Caleb sneered. He stood up, abandoning his computer. He was a head taller than Tommy, lanky and restless. He walked over to Tommy's station, invading his personal space.
"Let me see it."
Beverly looked up. "Caleb, sit down. We are still in quiet time."
"I just want to see it, Mrs. Sanders," Caleb said, feigning innocence, though his body language was all aggression.
He looked back down at Tommy. "Give it here. I want to hold it." Tommy didn't look up.
"No."
"Why not? You think you're special because you found a piece of tin in the dirt?"
"I didn't find it," Tommy said, his fingers tightening on the keyboard. "It was my dad's."
"Your dad's dead," Caleb said cruelly. "He doesn't need it, and you look stupid wearing it. You look like a baby playing dress-up."
The other children stopped typing. The hum of the servers seemed to grow louder in the sudden silence.
"Caleb, that's enough," Beverly said, standing up. Her chair scraped loudly against the floor.
"Go back to your seat, now." Caleb ignored her. The authority of teachers belonged to the old world. In this room, he was bigger, and that was the only law he respected. He leaned in close to Tommy's ear.
"Hand it over, Tommy. I want to wear it for a while. I'll be the cop. You can be the criminal."
Tommy finally turned his head. He looked up at the older boy with a gaze that was terrifyingly steady.
"You're breaking the rules, Caleb. Step away from my desk."
Caleb laughed.
"Or what?"
"When you break the rules," Tommy said, reciting the code Mark had drilled into him, "it creates chaos. It's like breaking the law. And for that, you can be arrested."
Caleb blinked, genuinely surprised by the pushback.
"Arrested? By who? You?"
"I'm the one wearing the badge," Tommy said. "So maybe I will."
For a second, Caleb didn't have a response. He stood there, fuming, his face flushing red as a few of the other kids giggled. He had tried to exert dominance and had been shut down by a 10-year-old with a vocabulary lesson. Humiliation was a dangerous thing in a boy like Caleb.
"You little freak," Caleb hissed.
Before Beverly could cross the room, Caleb lunged. His hand shot out, grabbing the gleaming shield. He yanked hard. The sound of tearing fabric ripped through the quiet room.
"Hey!"
Tommy shouted, shock turning instantly to rage. Caleb stumbled back, the badge clutched in his fist, a jagged piece of Tommy's plaid shirt still attached to the pin. He held it up, grinning maliciously.
"Look at that! Now I have the badge. I guess I'm the cop now. I guess I can arrest you."
He turned to taunt the other kids, waving the stolen treasure in the air. He never saw it coming. Tommy didn't cry. He didn't scream for his mother. He exploded from his chair like a coiled spring released from tension. He wasn't a child in that moment. He was a projectile.
"Tommy, no!"
Beverly shouted, rushing forward. Tommy closed the distance in two strides. He didn't shove Caleb. He tackled him. He hit Caleb around the waist, driving his shoulder into the older boy's gut. The breath left Caleb in a harsh whoosh, and both boys went crashing to the hard server room floor. Caleb flailed, panic setting in. He was bigger, but he was fighting with emotion. Tommy was fighting with technique. Mark had taught him, on the living room rug before the world ended, and in the dirt of the camps after. "Center of gravity, son. Control the limbs, control the threat." Tommy scrambled on top of the thrashing boy. He grabbed Caleb's right wrist and wrenched it behind his back. Caleb yelled in pain. Dropping the badge, it skittered across the floor, spinning like a coin.
"Get off me!"
Caleb screamed, kicking wildly. Tommy ignored the kicks. He grabbed Caleb's other wrist, forcing it back until he had both of Caleb's hands pinned securely against the small of his back. Tommy shifted his weight, pressing his chest against Caleb's shoulder blades, effectively immobilizing him. It was a textbook police restraint maneuver, executed with chilling precision by a third grader. The room was frozen. The other children stood up, wide-eyed. Caleb stopped struggling, realizing he couldn't move. He lay there, pressed against the cold tiles, panting. Tommy leaned down, his mouth inches from Caleb's ear. He wasn't out of breath. He was vibrating with intensity.
"The badge isn't magic, Caleb," Tommy said, his voice shaking with adrenaline, but clear as a bell.
"It's a symbol. It's a policeman's promise to uphold the law and protect people. Stop running and listen up. The apocalypse is expensive, but your survival stash shouldn't be. For just $20 flat, you get the keys to the vault for a full year. That includes every audiobook I've ever released, everything recording now, and every future book. That is a year-long supply of headshots, hordes, and horror for the price of a pizza. Not ready to commit? Grab a pass for 99 cents a week or $2 a month. Cancel any time, no strings attached. Stories are dropping faster than a rage virus, so don't get left behind. Dive into the apocalypse with our four available titles. Rock out to the undead in Seeing Johnny Rockets. Survive the jazz-infused horror of Bad Night at the Rusty Nail. Face the creator of the virus in the Haven Protocol, or witness the origins of the plague in Zombie Genesis. With new titles dropping all the time, your next nightmare is ready and waiting. He tightened his grip on Caleb's wrist, making the older boy wince. "And you don't stop being a policeman just because you aren't wearing the badge," Tommy finished. "It's in here, not on your shirt."
"Thomas Sanders!"
Beverly reached him, her hands trembling. She looked down at the scene, her son looking terrifyingly competent as he subdued a boy twice his size. It was impressive, and it broke her heart. He shouldn't know how to do this. He should be playing tag, not practicing submission holds.
"What is going on here?"
she demanded, though she had seen it all. Tommy looked up at her. His eyes were wild, the pupils blown wide.
"He stole property, Mom. He initiated violence. I neutralized the threat."
Neutralized the threat.
God, he sounded like a report file.
"Let him go, Tommy," Beverly said, her voice soft but firm. "Right now." Tommy hesitated. He looked at Caleb, then back at the badge lying on the floor a few feet away.
"He's not secure yet."
"Tommy," Beverly said, stepping closer. She knelt down so she was eye level with him. "An officer uses force only when necessary. The threat is over. Now I need you to listen to me."
Tommy swallowed hard. His grip on Caleb's wrist didn't loosen.
"Another thing a policeman does," Beverly said, reaching out to touch Tommy's hair, "is faithfully obey the orders given by a superior officer. I am your superior officer right now. Stand down." The logic penetrated the anger. The hierarchy was restored. Tommy nodded slowly.
"Yes, ma'am," he whispered.
He released Caleb's hands and rolled off him, standing up and brushing the dust from his knees. Caleb scrambled up, rubbing his wrists, his face a mask of shame and fear. He looked at Tommy with a newfound respect, or perhaps just terror. The two boys stood facing each other. The silence stretched. Caleb looked at the badge on the floor, then at Tommy. He kicked the floor with his sneaker, looking away.
"I didn't want the stupid thing anyway," he muttered. "It's just a piece of junk."
He turned and stormed off toward the door, shouldering past Beverly, desperate to hide the tears welling in his eyes. Tommy didn't watch him go. He walked over to the badge. He knelt and picked it up with both hands, treating it like a holy relic. He pulled the hem of his shirt out and lovingly wiped a smudge from the shiny surface. He checked the pin. It was bent, but functional. He stood up and carefully pinned it back onto his torn shirt, slightly higher this time, over his heart.
"It's okay, baby," Beverly said, her voice thick with emotion. "It's safe. You're safe."
"I know," Tommy said. He took a deep breath, composing himself. "I should finish my quiz. I have 3 questions left." He turned and walked back to his chair as if nothing had happened, sitting down and placing his hands on the keyboard. Beverly stood there watching him, feeling helpless. She was raising a warrior in a world that demanded it, but she missed her little boy.
"That was quite a show."
The voice came from the doorway. Beverly spun around, leaning against the steel doorframe, arms crossed over his chest. Was Jacob Miller. He looked tired. His clothes were covered in the dust of the valley, and there were dark circles under his eyes that hadn't been there the last time she saw him. But he was alive. He was real.
"Jacob!"
Beverly breathed. Her hands flew to her mouth.
Oh, my God!
She hurried over to him, keeping her voice low so as not to disturb the children, who were pretending to work while stealing glances at Tommy. She reached out and grasped his forearms, needing to feel the solidity of him.
You made it, she whispered. We heard the radio call, but seeing you is different.
Jacob offered a small, tired smile.
I made it. Took the scenic route. But I'm here.
He looked past her toward the end of the table where Tommy was typing.
I saw the end of that. The kid's got a hell of a right hook, or I guess a grapple.
Beverly's smile faltered. She looked back at her son.
He struggles, Jacob. Every day he misses Mark so much it consumes him. He wants to be him. He wears that badge like armor, but it's too heavy for him. He's just a boy.
He's a survivor, Bev, Jacob said gently. He's doing what he has to do to make sense of the world.
I know, she wiped a tear from her cheek. I worry that in trying to be a policeman, he's forgetting how to be a person. He needs...
She stopped, looking up at Jacob.
He needs his dad, and he knows he can't have him.
Jacob watched the boy. He saw the stiff posture, the torn shirt, the lonely determination. He thought of the grave he had dug in the desert. He thought of the empty passenger seat in his Jeep. He felt a cavernous hole in his own chest, a silence that was deafening. He needed a connection just as much as the boy did.
Let me talk to him, Jacob said.
Beverly looked at him, hope sparking in her eyes.
Really? You just got here. You must be exhausted.
I'm fine, Jacob lied.
I think I need to.
That would be wonderful, Beverly said. He's been dying to see you. He was furious he couldn't come to the gate.
Jacob nodded. He pushed off the doorframe and walked into the room. His boots were heavy on the floor, but he moved with a fluid grace. He walked down the length of the table, passing the other children, who stared at the newcomer with awe. Tommy didn't look up. He was staring at the screen, but his hands weren't moving. He was staring at the reflection of the badge in the monitor. Jacob stopped beside him. He waited a beat, letting his presence register.
Nice takedown, officer,
Jacob said, his voice rough but warm. Tommy froze. Slowly, disbelief warring with hope, he turned his head. He looked up. He saw the dusty boots, the cargo pants, the beard, the kind, sad eyes.
Jacob?
Tommy whispered.
Hey, kid, Jacob said. Report card looking good?
Tommy didn't answer. The stoic mask, the policeman persona he had worn so tightly during the fight with Caleb, shattered instantly. His face crumpled, not in sadness, but in pure, overwhelming joy.
Jacob!
Tommy bolted from his seat. He didn't offer a handshake. He didn't salute. He launched himself. Before Jacob could brace himself, the boy slammed into him, wrapping his small arms around Jacob's waist, burying his face in Jacob's stomach. He squeezed with all the strength he had, holding on as if Jacob were the only solid thing in a spinning world. Jacob stiffened. He stood there, arms hovering awkwardly in the air. The physical contact was a shock to his system. For months, the only things he had touched were cold weapons and the steering wheel of his Jeep. The warmth of the boy, the desperate need in the hug, terrified him. It was a responsibility. It was a tether to a future he wasn't sure he wanted to stick around for. He looked over Tommy's head at Beverly. She was standing by the door, tears streaming freely down her face. She didn't say anything. She just offered him a wan, trembling smile. It was a smile that said, "Please, he needs this. We need this." Jacob felt a lump form in his throat. He looked down at the top of Tommy's head. He smelled the kid, soap and sweat and dust. He thought of Betsy.
Be free, he had told her. But maybe freedom wasn't being alone in the desert. Maybe freedom was choosing who to fight for.
Slowly, hesitantly, Jacob lowered his hands. He placed one large, calloused hand on Tommy's shoulder, feeling the small frame shaking with sobs of relief. He placed the other hand on the back of Tommy's head, cradling him. Jacob looked back at Beverly. He returned her wan smile with one of his own, fragile, broken, but there. He held the boy, and for the first time in a long time, the silence inside him didn't feel quite so empty.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Want the ultimate survival stash for the price of a single pizza? You can unlock my entire audiobook vault for a full year. For just $20, you get past, present, and future releases, unlimited zombie action for 365 days. Prefer a shorter sprint? Join for 99 cents a week or $2 a month with the ability to cancel anytime. The deal is shambling your way right now. Don't miss out. Cardio, baby.